He is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. This is Ministry of the Badge.
Thanks for tuning in to Ministry of the Badge. Today I want to do something different. I want to present to you a sermon that I had done at a church last Father's Day. And I just felt I wanted to share a sermon with you about Elijah. Many of us struggle day to day with problems and the condition of our job and everything about us, especially as cops come down on us and those who wear the badge. And man, things get tight. Well, this man Elijah was a servant of God, and he was being pursued by probably one of the most evil women that ever lived. So I just wanted to share today on Ministry of the Badge this sermon that I had done at a church last year on Father's Day. I hope you enjoy it.
1 Kings 19, and I will read starting. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." And he was afraid. And he rose and he ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and he slept under a broom tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise, eat." And he looked, and behold, and there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and he drank, and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and says, "Arise, eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and he ate and he drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. There he came to a cave and he lodged in it. And behold, the word of God, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your servants. They've thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And I am only left. And they seek my life. And it's away." And he said, "Go out, Elijah. Go out. Stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after a wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a slow or a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, and the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Down in verse 18, yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Elijah, a man just like us. Did you hear the passion, the fear in Elijah's voice? He was afraid. Church, there are people in our lives that want to bring us down. Jezebel said, I'm going to make you just like those men that you killed. I swear to you, I will do everything I can to bring you down. By this time tomorrow, if I don't do this, then the gods be cursed to me. How many of you know the feeling? That threat of people. Elijah was a man just like us. You see, church, there are people that are in this world that are completely and totally against God. We watch it every single day as we watch the news. Everything about what we believe is being attacked. You see, right now the church is like Elijah, and some of the churches are giving in to the world. They are giving in to just turning over themselves. But Elijah, a man just like us, went off into the wilderness in fear because he saw what was about to come. This was a man who had just called down the burning fires upon the altar that soaked up everything in fire, all the water, all the sacrifices. This is a man who had no reason to fear, yet that pressure of the world came down upon him, and one person with a threat to him said, I must do to you. How many of you know that feeling? Elijah acted on his own power, on his own fear. A man who just called down the fire of God. So don't worry. When you act in fear, at times our Father looks down and understands you so completely. And he loves you so much. And he says, you know, son or daughter, don't fear. I'm with you. But I understand. You see, church, there are times when we go through these troubles in life and the threats that come down and they come after us and we react in such a visceral way as Elijah did that we even neglect the others around us. If you notice what it says, he leaves his servant. He goes off by himself. There are some of you in this room, if not a lot of you in this room, that who feel the need to just go off by yourself and neglect your servant away. You're turning away some of the spiritual people around you. And I tell you, that's not necessarily safe. But I'm going to tell you this, when you do turn away those people that are around you, God is right there. God is right there. Elijah went into the wilderness. How many of you are wandering around in the wilderness? You don't have to raise your hands. You know who you are. Church, this message is for you. This message is for Pathway Church. I preached this passage before, and it was nothing like this. As Elijah walks into the wilderness and leaves his counsel behind, he does what we all do. I just gotta sit down. I just gotta relax. I have been in a place where I was in a dark, deep, almost depression. And I just lay in my bed. Laid my head down. Didn't want to get up. And the angel on the phone with my wife would consistently tell me, come on, let's just go. Let's just go. And every day I was fed the spiritual prayers of my wife. Because she would lay her hands upon me and pray for me. That same breath, that same food that Elijah ate. You see, church, there is someone that is there praying for you. That angel is there with you. And it may not be a loaf of bread as you see, and it may not be, but I can tell you this, the word of God, which every man should feed off of, is there, and it will be your way to get out of it.
Amen.
Because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. If you notice in Elijah's feeling of just pure, unadulterated fear and disgust, Elijah finally says, I've had enough. How many of you are holding back and just simply crying out, I've had enough? Many people go through life wondering, why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? Why was I treated this way as a child? Why did I have to go through this? Why did I have to go through that? I'm here to tell you, church, the Lord wants to hear your whys. Because your Father loves you so much that when He comes to you, and He comes to you and you say, why, Daddy, why? He says, son, daughter, just come to me so I can hold you. You may not hear the why the way you want to hear it. Because listen to what Elijah says. They've killed everybody. It's just me. I'm all alone here. I don't have any more friends. I don't have anybody. Some people, when they come to know the Lord, all their friends go away from them. They lose friends. Elijah was feeling that his friends were getting killed. That old life that you once lived is being killed off, and you're feeling the fear of it. That's for somebody in here. And I'm here to tell you that the Father says, that's okay, because I have to burnish you. I have to brandish you. In order to make you stronger, I have to put you through fires. And only I can get you out of it. And when you come to me and you finally say, I've had enough, He'll say, now I'll give you more. Church. as Elijah lay under the broom tree, God sends an angel to touch him. Elijah's not in a deep sleep, but he's in a restful sleep. Because he knows, though he's all alone in the wilderness, his God is right with him. You see, Jonah, when he was running away from God, slept in a spiteful, hard, I'm not doing what you want me to do sleep. Mm-hmm. Elijah slept knowing full well that his God was right there. Now he eats this food. Imagine waking up in the morning, there's a thing of bread and stuff like that. And an angel talking to you, you'd be like, holy smokes. There's bread at the top of my head and water. Where'd this come from? I'm out in the middle of nowhere. You see, God provides in ways that we just don't understand. God provides for us every single day. We just turn from it. Church, do you understand the power that we have as Christians? The Bible says the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you. And we act as if though the Ahabs and the Jezebels of the world can somehow affect us. And we act as if though every time we turn around, oh, the Christian church, oh. Yeah, look, folks. We're Christians.
Amen.
Stand and be Christians. You're fathers. Stand and be fathers. But Elijah, who's in the Hebrew Hall of Fame, he's one of those guys mentioned like, this dude was serious. This guy was about to go up on a hill and call down a fire upon a couple hundred guys. What? And yet here he is, in a moment of weakness. Because we are nothing. We are absolutely nothing without God.
Amen. Amen.
The world is going through the problems it goes through because they don't know and they don't want God. The Ahabs. Ahab was the most wicked king that Israel had. The Bible clearly points that out. He was one bad dude. He brought Jezebel in. Nobody talks about Jezebel. That dude went on God. Imagine that. But there are no Ahabs. There are no Jezebels that are more powerful than your God.
Amen.
So watch what happens. Elijah eats this bread and water made by an angel. And what does the angel say? Hey, Elijah, eat this. Drink this. Because it's going to be too hard for you. He doesn't say, hey, Elijah, eat and drink this and you're going to be good. Everything will be happy. You'll be merry. You're going to go on your way. No, he says, no, the journey's going to be too long. And it's going to be too hard for you. You're going to need this food. Trust me when I tell you, Elijah, eat it and go. But Elijah still has to go through a journey. 40 days Jesus was in the wilderness. 40 days it rained on the boat. 40 days. There are trial periods, Christian, in your life. That what you're going through right now, you could be in the middle of that 40 days. And if you haven't started that journey, I warn you. I warn you, without God, the journey will be too much for you. But mind you this, when you get through that journey and you come to that cave of which you are going to lie down in, notice what happens. The Bible says this. And the Word, it says this verse, behold. When the Bible says, behold, you best pay attention. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Behold, there was a dove that came to Noah, and it had an olive branch in its mouth. Behold, the word of God came to Elijah. Church, do you understand what that's saying? Jesus, that same word that in the Greek is logos, in the Hebrew it's badal, that same word is the same word that in the beginning was the Word. Came to Elijah. You see, when you are in your wandering, when you are in the Spirit, when you are wandering around in God's power, in that journey, when you come to that point, when you come to that point that you can no longer handle it, Jesus will come right to you and say, here I am. But watch what Jesus does. Jesus does what he did in the garden. He calls him out. Jesus doesn't just say, oh, you know, the Jesus you watch on TV, oh, little Elijah, come here. No, he says, go, comma. When you see a go, comma in the Bible, that's, do that now. God called out Adam and Eve in the midst of their sin. Remember that? He called them out. Jesus will call you up. Even in the midst of your, oh, you're dredging in your, no. Time out. You ain't got time for none of that. Behold, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And he said, go. Stand at the entrance to the cave. And behold, your God as he comes by. Church, understand this. Yes, the 40 days is a very, very, very long journey and it's hard. But your Father in heaven knows that you are functioning in a way that you don't even understand. And there are just times in his, in your life where he will just simply say, go. And you're better off just going. Some of you now are in the midst of resisting that temptation of just going. And I'm telling you, go. As Job was going through all of his troubles, as Job was crying out to God about the unfairness of what was happening, the Bible says Job never cursed God, but he sure cried out a lot. And what did God say? Stand up, oh man, so I can address you such. Our God is mighty. Amen. His ways are not our ways. Who is the clay to tell the master what he should be? He will address us as such because just like a father addresses his child, when need be, he will simply say, stand up so I can address you as such. even in the midst of all of what we're going through, the hardness of life that it is to live on this earth. This is the same person who said, I will send you out like sheep amongst wolves. Who does that? Jesus does. Why? Because we function in such a way that the world does not understand. We can, as sheep, walk through a world of wolves because we're not walking alone. We have the Lord. We have the Holy Spirit. Amen? I tell you, church, in the midst of all of what you're going through, there are some of you in here that are wobbling. You're continuously laying under the broom tree. Heaven forbid an angel comes and touches you, because one guy he touched walks around with a limp. Paul begged God to take whatever ailment that he had. Sometimes those ailments, if not all the times, those ailments are a way to keep us humble.
Amen.
Sometimes those troubles in our lives that come to us are coming to us because we just need to be told, hey, settle down there, young one. But our Father has us right in the palm of His hand the whole time. Behold the Word of God. The Word of the Lord came to Elijah. How many of you know right now, some of you may be on the part where the Word of the Lord is coming to you right now? For those of you who are in that place, I want you to understand the holiness of that Word. Behold. Take that Bible in your hand and behold it for all that it's worth. Because in your hand, you have the keys to every problem this world has.
Amen.
It's the reason why they're fighting against it so much. It's the reason why they're trying to bring the church down. And remember this, church. We're only here temporarily.
We will not live forever. My pastor said it to me this one time, like this. He said, and he gave an illustration. He held out a rope, and the rope was probably 12 feet long, and about a foot of it had red tape. The very front of it. And he said, this is life, the foot of the red tape. And the rest of the white rope was eternity. And what you do with that foot of life that you have will make a difference for what happens to you in eternity. I say all the time here in Ministry of the Badge, if you want to be the best minister of the badge that you can be, become a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. I've been asked, well, how do you do that? Becoming a servant of Jesus Christ requires you to accept the gift of Jesus Christ, dying on the cross. Confess to the Lord that you are a sinner, that you cannot make life without Him, that you are not good enough, that there's nothing you can do on your own accord, that you want to accept His gift of dying on the cross, that gift of salvation. Remember, we talked about the helmet of salvation. Confess your sins. Accept the gift of Jesus Christ. And then ask Him how you can live for Him. And most of all, tell others. Thank you again for tuning in to Ministry of the Badge. If you have any questions for me, if you have a way that you want me to get a hold of you, send me an email, chaplaingonzo@gmail.com. Put a comment below. Tell others about this ministry. It's a ministry I have, not hoping to become famous, not hoping to become anyone in particular, but I want all praise to go to the Lord. And I want to be able to help you and know that I was able to help you because of the Lord through me. Next time on Ministry of the Badge, I'm going to have an interview with a veteran who lived through the Iraq War and was wounded. And he wrote a book recently, and he happens to be my brother-in-law. He's a good Christian guy. So I'm going to share that with you next time on Ministry of the Badge. Take care. And thank you for tuning in.
For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. You've been listening to Ministry of the Badge.